This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, there's no question that we live in a sex-saturated society, but that doesn't mean we're getting better at it. If anything, we're probably more anxious than ever about sex, romance, and relationships. Dr. Patricia Werrikoon is a sexologist, and she's also the author of The Best Sex for Life, and she joins me in the studio. Hi, Patricia.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
When you say you go to a party and you say you're a sexologist, what kind of reaction do you get to that, Patricia?
Oh, the immediate thing is that I say, what is an old subcontinental woman being a sexologist? And then the words are, what does a sexologist do anyway? Which is a fascinating opening, because then I get to say a sexologist is somebody who reads about sex, researches sex, talks about sex for 24/7. Oh, that's just keeping a little time to have sex.
Do you ever get sick of sex?
Never.
Never. So what got you into this field, Patricia?
Isn't everyone into it? Oh, well, anyway, I am a medical doctor from Sri Lanka.
Okay.
But when I was doing my postgraduate study, my professor was one of the world's best known sexologists, which was a fascinating time, especially since it was in Hawaii.
Now, you have studied sex in your professional life as an academic with the University of Sydney and around the world, and you're also a Christian, and so you base a lot of your ideas on your theology. So over the years, has your studies lined up with your Christian view of sex always, or has that ever been in conflict?
Well, at the beginning, I didn't really think about it. I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember, and I didn't kind of consciously think about it. But when I was in Hawaii, we were worshipping in a wonderful Baptist church, and that is when I was really studying the science and the sociology of sex. And I struggled to reconcile my faith with what I was studying, because most sexologists, in fact, nearly everyone, are either atheists or agnostics. Well, they're not Christians. So I struggled, and I had a lot of time I spent with the minister of the Baptist church. And through that, I came to realize that good, holistic sex, supported by the research, is truly what God talks about in the Bible.
Patricia, in your book, you do talk about a biblical theology of sex, but in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, people often behave in ways that are very different to what Christians today would expect. You know, Solomon had many, many wives, and Abraham not once but twice said his wife Sarah was his sister and then handed her over to another man. Does the Bible really offer a consistent view of sex?
See, when we talk about the Bible's view of sex, basically we first got to go right up to creation.
Okay.
You know, when God made man and woman, he created us gendered, perfect man and woman. And then he brought man and woman together and he said, look, this is just so perfect. The perfect man, the perfect woman, and one flesh, naked and no shame forever. But of course, when we rejected God, everything gets messed up. And sex is just one of these things which get messed up. So through the Old Testament, we see that sort of thread of good sex. But we see a lot of the messed up sex, just as we see it in the world today.
Okay, where do you think we're mainly going wrong in society today when it comes to our attitude to sex?
We're going wrong because we are accepting the world view that desire means if I want something, if I desire it, I must have it.
Mm.
And therefore, it doesn't matter what I want, it doesn't matter who I hurt, or even if I hurt myself, I just need to feed my desires. But the Bible tells us that the best sex for life is in a monogamous relationship of one man, one woman, where you can have the naked and no shame. What does it mean? Naked means you are totally vulnerable. Mm. And when you are in a no shame relationship, you have perfect trust. Now, that is what we are now seeing research supporting, that actually it works.
And what's the key attitude to have in how we approach sex? Because if the world's attitude is desire and sort of getting what I want and what I want I must have. What's a more Christian attitude towards sex then?
It's really about the other person. You say two people love each other and they look into each other's eyes and say, what can I do for you that will make you happy, that will give you the best sex, the best pleasure you can ever have? Look, if both people are thinking that, what better sex can you have?
Yeah. All right, so what's your advice for putting zing back into a marriage after a long time? How can you get the spark back into the marriage?
What a great question to ask a woman who's 40 years married this month. How do you put the zing back? You remember that the more sex you have, the more you bond at a brain level. But that is what we call a passional bond, not a passionate bond. So if you want to bring passion back into that long-term commitment bond, what I tell couples is just think back to things that gave you that zing, that gave you that adrenaline rush. Look, if that was bungee jumping out to the bridge, well, maybe not after 40 years of marriage. But think about things that gave you that excitement. And just treat yourselves as a couple to doing something special for each other and for yourselves as a couple. And look, I promise you, the zing will come back. But you've got to work on it. The thing that we think is that everything has to be spontaneous. Now, as you get old, a lot of things aren't quite spontaneous as they were before. And we do need to take that time to romance and to bring back the excitement. Think back. What turned you on when you were young? Relive those moments of romance.
Patricia, I wasn't going to ask you this question, but I feel that I have to. Now, people always say, how much sex is normal? What's the frequency of sex that people should realistically expect to have? Now, is that even a question we should be asking?
Oh, it's a very valid question to ask. But the point is that we think sex means intercourse. Mm-hmm. Most people assume that sex means you've got to have intercourse. The point is that sex is not equal to intercourse. It's actually about intimacy. So when people ask me how much of sex should you have, I say you should actually be having sex 24 hours of the day because you should be very intimate with your spouse, with your partner, all the time. And the time, you know,
even when you're so tired, Patricia.
Of course. Because washing dishes together can be a very intimate affair. You know, you've got your hands in the suds together. I mean, you know, how much more intimate than can you get than that?
Okay, washing up is sexy. You heard it first from Patricia Werikarin here on Hope 103.2. Patricia, how does sex change after kids? Should it change, or do you think it's something that people are using as an excuse?
Sex changes every day. Sex changes with every stage of your life. The sex that you think about before you are married, we call it sexpectations in the book. Mm. Your sexpectations often don't work out soon after marriage. Then, you know, it takes time. Then the kids come and again, things change. Then again, you get old and everything that was tight and taut starts migrating south. And then things change. And then you're in the nursing home and, you know, things aren't working the way they did before. And there's more changes. So change happens. It's about accommodation and sometimes sacrificial giving to the other. So it's accepting that change happens and accommodating to those changes, keeping the romance and the love going.
Okay. Now, I don't want to go through specific sexual activities and say, you know, is this okay? Is that okay? But what are some good sort of general principles for deciding whether or not a particular sexual activity is a good idea?
Firstly, the important thing is it harming my spouse or myself, either physically or emotionally? Because there's some things that are okay for some people. For instance, things like oral sex are fine for some people, but some couples just don't like it. A particular girl or a particular boy doesn't like it. So if it is emotionally you know, something someone dislikes, then you're harming your spouse at that emotional level if you sort of insist on an activity. Mm. That's the main thing. There are some activities that I would say are not helpful. That's just really a couple. One of them is any of these activities that are based on something you've seen in pornography. Now, I don't want to go through details, but there are some very wrong activities, that sexual activities that are based on what really pornography shows us.
You mentioned pornography. Now, this is such a huge issue in our society today. And coming at this topic from a parent's point of view, we worry a lot about our teens and about the expectations that may be on them because of the impact of pornography on young people. What are the key things that we should be teaching our kids as they emerge into a sex-crazed world where anything goes?
Firstly, I would say we've got to start really early. Today we say start talking about sexuality with your children when they are 5 years old. Okay. Because by the time they get into primary school, they're going to be seeing sexual images, talking about sex, because seeing it in the playground. They're going to meet with it. So start early. The other thing is make sure that children have a strong foundation of their identity as Christians in Christ and Christ alone. Then they can face the world, which is going to tell them that their identity is based on their body image or their popularity on Facebook or on how much of sex they have. They need to have a language and a foundation based on their faith, that they can act as a shield for them against what the world is going to throw at them.
Finally, I think infidelity is another issue that many couples will have to deal with or in trying to guard themselves against infidelity. What are your tips for how to safeguard a marriage against infidelity?
The most important thing is to keep the communication going. If something is upsetting you about your spouse, something your spouse has said, something your spouse has done, please talk to your spouse. Talk to your partner. Don't talk to somebody else. That's the first thing. Important to keep the communication channels open. The second thing is be careful when friendships outside the marriage turn to flirting. Because we all have a lot of friends outside marriage, and it is good. It is good to have non-sexual, intimate friendships of both men and women. Mm. But be very aware when that friendship starts getting to that point of flirtation. Because at that point, you are entering a slippery slope and know when to draw back.
Okay, and so I guess in getting back to the positives, the good sex that we can expect in married life, what if for couples it hasn't quite worked out as well as they had hoped and there may be some disappointment or some hurt? What's the best thing to do if you realize that, okay, we might need some help here?
Firstly, talk to each other. Have a communication, talk about it, discuss it. Once you've done that, there are lots of really good counselors out there. And so don't be afraid to ask for help. Whether it's in your church or whether it's looking for a professional counselor, it is okay to ask for help.
Do you think that churches talk about this enough, though? I could count on one hand the number of times we've had a really meaty discussion about sex in the context of church or a Christian gathering. Is it something that you think the church needs to sort of step up to a little bit more?
A lot of the churches are actually doing it now, mm-hmm. because they're becoming very aware that there is a need to discuss these issues, especially in today's world where there is such a sexualization of children and young people, and pornography is becoming the sex educator of our young people. So there is a need, and the churches are becoming more aware. But all said and done, they could read my book, The Best Sex for Life.
Well, I really gave you a free opportunity there to give it a bit of a
there
plug,
you are.
Patricia. So thank you so much for coming in and having a chat about sex today.
You're most welcome.
It's Dr. Patricia Werikoon. She's a sexologist and the author of The Best Sex for Life.